Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping God and praising His name. I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us doing that exact thing. We're continuing our series this morning entitled Go Into Your World, and we've unpacked that the last few weeks, helping you understand that it's not the world, it's your world. Your world's a lot smaller than the big globe, okay? It's a lot more palatable to go into your world, your neighborhood, your school, your workplace, the place that you go into every day and make an impact. It's a lot more easy to digest. You know, as I get older, I realize that some foods are harder to digest. I mean, you digest them, you just digest them differently. Benedetti knows what I'm talking about. He understands what I'm saying, but you don't eat the same way. But this is the same message for everybody. The world is way bigger than your world. And it's okay to feel scared. It's okay to feel intimidated by the fact that we're called to go out and share the gospel. But today's message is 100% about you recognizing that you have a supernatural strength to go out and do it. It's not about you. It's not about your own abilities. It's about what God can do through you. And today's message is helping you to be aware of those strengths and to be aware of the opportunities that God's placed before you. And to help you to get comfortable with being aware of those opportunities. Our goal is to challenge you, every single person in this room today, to share your faith within the next 7 days. To share it. The numbers are staggering on Christians that will never share their faith. The numbers are even more staggering on the amount of Christians that will never lead somebody to Jesus. Never. Imagine that conversation when you get to heaven. Hey, bro. Hey, sis. You. There's no one in there waiting for you that you got here. Now, that's not meant to put us down. That's meant to excite us, encourage us to get out there and do it. I can't wait to hear the stories from you all. I shared my faith in Aldi this week. I shared my faith in Walmart. Or if you're really, really big time, you were a Giant Eagle. I only go there for a select few things. Avocados. Been on an avocado kick lately. You gotta go to Giant Eagle sometimes because they have ripe avocados on for a dollar. 10 for 10. You got to have that advantage card though. But listen, we want you to be able to understand that you can do this. Here's a thing that I want you to hear. Matthew 9, 36 through 38. When he being Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, ask him to send more workers into the fields." Listen, Jesus saw the crowds. We're asking that you see like he sees. Jesus felt compassion. We're asking you to feel like Jesus felt. Jesus had a plan to reach them. We're asking that you have a plan, that you look at your neighbor, that you look at your coworker, that you look at that person in the grocery store or if you have bought into the trap that is Kohl's Cash and you go to Kohl's, or if you have bought into the amazing thing that is end caps at Target. Listen, I love Target. I do. We walk around, we peruse the shelves. We buy the same things. We don't buy anything special. Mints and toothpaste and, you know, the necessities. But we peruse the end caps. We have conversations with people too. You know what my greatest opportunity is to share the gospel or share my faith? Hey, sir, can you grab this off the shelf for me? Got him. God's gifted me with being tall, but I get to talk with people all the time. And this is coming from a man who used to be scared to talk to people in church. I used to be scared to go up to people and talk. I was so intimidated. What if they ask me something I don't know? What if they find out I actually don't know how many books are in the Bible? This was 17 years ago. There's 66, by the way. But what if? I was so intimidated. But that was because I was trying to do it in the natural, not the supernatural. Let God work through you. Let's pray. Let's pray that we understand that we can because He can. Father God, we just submit this time to You. God, help us to see like You see, feel like You feel. God, help us to have compassion on the people that we come in contact with on an everyday basis. God, help us to get out of our comfort zones, have a fresh perspective, and not get stuck in our normal, ordinary, everyday, mundane lives, Lord, and know that we were created for something bigger. Give us the courage to get outside of our comfort zone. God, You did not create us to be comfortable. Help us to understand that today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think about a time that you did something that you were completely uncomfortable. Completely uncomfortable. But after you did it, you looked back upon it, and you're like, wow, that wasn't as bad as I actually thought it was going to be. You knew that it was going to put you in an uncomfortable situation, but you did it anyway. You know, so many times we can get in our head. We can psych ourselves out. We can say no before the opportunity even started or began. So many times we do this, but if we do it anyway, something happens. You know, it's a lot to do with our faith and sharing our faith. When we take that step, God meets us. All we have to do is take that first step, and that's where God meets us. That's where God starts to speak through us. That's where God starts to do things. So I'm challenging you all to take a step this week and share your faith, that you can go into your world confidently when you do these three things, that you become intentional. That you become intentional about it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to invite somebody to church. Once you do that, it's on God at that point. God does the rest. You can worry about everything else. Is somebody going to be weird at church today? Guess what? You're weird. Just own it. Own it. Be intentional. Invite somebody to connection group. You know, we're praying and processing what our Christmas candlelight worship experience is going to look like. It might be a little different at the White Oak campus this year. We're going to make a decision this week. It might be at a different location. so that we could all be together for one worship experience. It might be uncomfortable for the regulars, but it might be really comfortable for somebody to, for you to invite them to it. We're going to try something different, possibly. But it might be less intimidating for you to invite somebody to a place that they're used to going to or hearing about. It's not a church building. We're going to be intentional about the opportunity to invite people. The second point we're going to talk about today is you accepting responsibility. Being willing to take responsibility for sharing the gospel. And then, depending on the Holy Spirit. If you're going to do it in your own will and your own might and your own wisdom, your own knowledge, you're going to trip. But when we depend on Him, we follow these three things, God will meet us. So let's unpack the first one, being intentional. Let's turn to John 4, where we're going to spend all of our time today. And we're going to talk about an encounter that Jesus had with a woman at the well. And this encounter not only impacted her life, but it impacted so many others. And that's what happens when somebody has a moment with Jesus. It shouldn't just change their life, it should change others. I look around this room and I see so many people. I see some people that I don't know yet, but I can't wait for the opportunity to get to know you. Can't wait for the opportunity for others to get to know you. And then for them to come and tell me the stories of life change and transformation. But there's people in this room today that you're going to experience Jesus, and then others are going to experience Jesus because of your experience. And that's the way that it's supposed to work. Jesus and His entourage are traveling and ministering within their world. And Jesus encounters a woman at the well. I'm going to read a lot of scripture today. Some of it's going to be on the screen, some of it's not. But I believe that this story, this amount of verse is important. And I believe that there's power when the Word of God is just read. So if you have your Bible, turn to John 4, follow along with me. But I'm going to read John 4, 3 through 9 right now, just to set the tone. So He, being Jesus, left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, He came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave his son to Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. Typical guys. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. Listen, because of those verses that I just read, we see that Jesus broke the race, religion, and reputation barriers. Jesus was a barrier breaker. He didn't care what the culture said He was supposed to do. He didn't care what the world around Him said He was supposed to be doing. He didn't follow the flow of what everything around Him said He was supposed to do. So many times we can get stuck in, oh, what will people think of me? What will they say? Will I be an outcast? Will people talk about me? What will they say? You know, I'm going to be 40 in a few years. And I made a joke at Connection Group. A few years, and it's not close, but that's my next milestone birthday, okay? I can't believe I just said that. I'm going to be 40 years old. Wow. 40s are the best years, I hear. I hear 40s are great. I'm excited. I'm great. Listen, I just bought pants that are smaller than I wore in high school. Come on, somebody. Listen. I bought a suit in middle school that was a 44 extra long to go to the Nutcracker. I was a big boy. Side story. But listen, I said that for my 40th birthday, I want everybody to compile all the stories that they've heard about me. Because somebody told me a connection group, a story that they heard about me from somebody and so and so and so and so. It wasn't true. But people are talking. And old Nick used to get really, really self-conscious about that. But I love it now. You know why? Because people talked about Jesus. And a lot of the things that they said weren't true. But they were talking. You know why? Because he and his people were doing something. Because race, religion, and reputation barriers were being broken. Jesus shouldn't have been talking to a Samaritan. Jesus shouldn't have been talking to a woman at the well at noon. Jesus was out of the culture, but he was still open. You know, we tend to think that there's few people that we can effectively share the gospel with. We can only talk to people that act like me or think like me or talk like me or dress like me or work like me or fill in the blank. You know, it is so surprising to me that sometimes the greatest impact that we have in people's lives are people that are completely opposite than us. Completely opposite. And I think God does that sometimes to show us that it has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with him. Nothing to do with us, but everything to do with what he wants to do. Some of the most amazing stories about sharing the gospel in my life are to be with people that I have nothing in common with. One of my favorite stories is with a guy that was a LARPer. He built body armor. He did things and said words that I had to look up. I didn't even know what LARPing was. Cosplay. Do you know what? I played football. I don't even know if he knew how to throw a ball. We hung out together. I went to see movies that I never wanted to see. He rented out a restaurant and put a projector up and played Star Wars and invited 50 of our closest friends so that I could see it. I had nothing in common with this man, but we were brothers because of what Jesus did on the cross. People get uncomfortable for the gospel. Listen, Jesus was tired, he was weary, but he engaged in conversation with this Samaritan woman at the well. It didn't matter that he was walking in the sun all day, that he was probably tired from talking with his disciples. They probably wear him out. Ministry can tire you out. But if you're doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit, it should fill you up. We get tired, but if we stay alert in the Spirit and allow for the Holy Spirit, things happen. I want to turn out of our scripture in John and go to 2 Timothy 2:42. And it says, "Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether it's time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching." Some translations say be prepared in season or out of season. Some people like winter, some people despise winter, but that doesn't mean you stop living. Some people go to Florida in the winter. Some people come back from Florida in the winter. Some people won't travel from Florida unless it's above 70 degrees in Pittsburgh. Tell Larry I love him. But listen, you don't stop living. Being prepared to share the word of God and the gospel and the good news in season and out of season. What does that mean? It's not about you. Feelings lie. The enemy will capitalize on your feelings, on your emotions. Your emotions will keep you stuck. I don't feel like it. Can I be really real and vulnerable with you right now? I don't feel good. I don't. But this message is my heart. I sat and prayed, God, should I share this? There's a video ready to roll. Pastor Rick knocked this message out of the park. He probably did better than I did and what I'm doing. But God said, I want you to share what I placed on your heart. I'll give you grace. And when this is done, the grace will lift. I know it will. In season and out of season. Let's go back to John 4. Jesus replied in verse 10, if you only knew the gift of God for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. She replied, but sir, you don't have a rope or a basket, she said. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, this woman said, give me this water, then I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. She said, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. And Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands. And you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Talk about Jesus being like not scared to speak truth to somebody. Imagine that woman looking at him like, I'm going to get you some water. I'm going to throw it in your face. That woman probably looked at him like, number one, how did you know that? Number two, who do you think you are? Number three, I don't even want to say it, but she thought it. Point two, accept responsibility. Taking responsibility and owning your faith and doing the things a disciple does to share one's faith sometimes will take risk. Jesus took a risk by speaking to this woman, by being at that well, by telling her about her past, by telling her about her present. This risk gives you the possibility of loss or even injury. Not physically, maybe, but emotionally, mentally. Might leave a little scar. You know what? The worst thing somebody's ever going to tell you is no. But the thing that I've found is when you create a relationship with somebody the invite becomes easier. When they get to know who you are and what you're about and your character, the invite becomes a little bit more simple. It's becoming harder for me to not let people know that I'm a pastor, because they kind of know, because people talk. But I'm working on this guy, Giant Eagle in White Oak. He's the security guard at the front door. Big guy. Every time I walk in, he says, "What's up, big man? Like, how you doing, fella?" I talk to him every single day. He's the only reason I really go to Giant Eagle in White Oak anymore, because it usually takes me like 45 minutes to get out of there. But we're going to get him here. God's going to get him here. And I'm excited about it. But it's taking a risk. It's taking some money too, because Giant Eagle is expensive. It really is. It is. But it's worth it. It's an investment. For us, though, it's often a risk of our loss of reputation or injury of our psyche. Two things that we need to be aware of as a risk taker. We need to be aware of our pride. Is our pride getting in the way? Listen, church, if you're afraid of getting embarrassed, get unafraid. Get unafraid. Don't worry about what people think of you. Don't worry about it. Stop trying to impress. People are going to think what they want to think. Haters going to hate. Let them hate. It's their job. They're good at it. Let them do it. Don't get embarrassed. My main goal is to have fun with embarrassing others. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Lennon ran away from me in Home Depot the other day because I started dancing with the dancing Grinch in the Christmas display. He's like, "That's my father. I love him, but I'm going to let him dance by himself." Be humble. Pride will stop you. Proverbs 11:18 say, "The wicked earn deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward." The risk is far outweighed by the reward. So are you ready to go anywhere at any time? Are you willing to take risks? The risks aren't that bad if you take point number three to heart, and that is depending on the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to John 4, 13 and 14. We're going to read it again. Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." Jesus is talking about a new life that's available to all of us through the Holy Spirit. A water that has become a symbol to this new reality through the Spirit. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is this source of living water which can transform us and everyone, and this woman at the well from her isolation. It's a gift that's available to all of us. And this living water, this source of life, I want you to think about it. I want you to think about water for a second. I want you to think about water that provides life, okay? If there's water that life is in it, what is it doing? It's moving. Am I right? It's moving. Or it's connected to a body of water that's moving. If there's a man-made lake, it needs to be what? Stocked with life. Life needs to be put in it. Lake Emily down in McKeesport needs a truck to pull up into it every single fishing season, and they put fish into it. It's kind of gross. Sad, actually. Then people stand next to this lake, Lake Emily, and they fish next to it. I want you to think of, there's also water that is negative. What's it called? It's called stagnant water. It's where the mosquitoes be coming from. Mosquitoes. Right? We all know about this. Stagnant water, water that's not moving, can bring negative things. Living water has movement. It's going somewhere. It's doing something. Are you moving with the gift that God's given you? Are you flowing with the Holy Spirit? Are you just stagnant? Are mosquitoes breeding? John 16:17 in John 4, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband. Told you that. Jesus said, you're right. He pretty much called her a bad word at this point. I know, never mind, I'm not going to go there. Pastor John put something in my head, and I'm not going to say it. He grew up in Woodland Hills area. You don't have a husband, for you have five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Jesus obviously had a prophetic gift here, and he's speaking so much truth to her to show to her, listen, I know what I'm talking about. I know who you are. I know where you've been, but I know where God can lead you. I know where we can go. She responds, sir, you must be a prophet. Tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where the ancestors worshiped? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming where it will no longer matter where you worship the Father, on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews, but the time is coming indeed, here and now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus said to her, hey, yo, listen, I am the Messiah. Just then, his disciples came back from their food run. They were at Sheetz or something. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? Because they knew his character. They knew who he was. They knew that Jesus was up to something. They were confident that he was being intentional. They were confident that whatever he was doing, he was going to take responsibility for. They were confident that whatever he was doing, he was only doing that he would what he had seen his Father in heaven do. Verse 28 in John 4. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something. We were at Sheetz." But Jesus replied, "I have a kind of food you know nothing about." I love the disciples. Did someone grab you something from Wawa? I love it. What'd you eat? What did you guys eat? Who brought you food? Their perspective. They're so pure, right? Who got you food while we were gone? What'd you eat? The disciples were asking each other. Then Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work." You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are ripe for harvest. Wake up and look around. Wake up and look around. Jesus used every moment as a teaching opportunity. The disciples came back with their food. Could only imagine what they had. But all they were focused on at that moment was they were tired. They had walked all day. They had been doing ministry. And they had left to go get food. And they came back. And they were ready to eat. And their hearts were pure. They just wanted to give Jesus some food. They brought food back for their leader. But they didn't realize what Jesus had just done. And sometimes we as followers of Jesus can miss it too. We can miss what Jesus has done or what Jesus is doing. And I want this to be the moment where the followers of Jesus in this room, that we wake up and realize what God has done and what he's currently doing. And we wake up because the harvest is plentiful. There are people out there that are just waiting for someone to get into their life and befriend them and talk with them. And take a risk on them. Men, there are men out there that just need encouraged. There are men that you work with that have never heard someone say, "I believe in you," or "I'm proud of you," or "I see so much more in you." They've never been loved. You know, there's so many men in my life that I say I love you before I hang up the phone, and they are shocked. Most men in my life, before they leave, I say I love you, and I say it until they say it back to me. I say it until they say it back to me. And one man with tears in his eyes said to me, "I struggle because no one ever said it to me. I grew up not hearing it. I didn't know how to say it back. But thank you." Women, there are women in your life that don't know their worth. There are women in this room that don't know their worth. Wake up. The harvest is plentiful. The fields are ripe. They just need picked. And you know what? eventually fruit goes bad. I have avocados sitting on my counter right now. There's six of them. And I'm going to make the sickest guacamole for the game tonight. I got six avocados, three jalapenos, two finger hot peppers, fresh cilantro, red onion. I got a lime. Whew. They're all going to go bad if I don't use them today. The fruit is ripe. It's just ready to be picked. Wake up. I talk to the followers in the room. Now I want to talk to the people that you're at the well today. Maybe you got invited to church. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while and you've never had a drink of that living water. You're stagnant. You feel like you're that woman at the well and you're so close to having that experience with Jesus. I want today to be your day. I want you to walk out of this place and you go and tell everyone just like she did. Her life wasn't changed. The town around her was changed because of that moment that she had with Jesus. The verse in Romans says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Listen, you can't earn this living water. You can't buy it. You can't go down to Giant Eagle and get it with your Advantage card. It's a gift that God wants to give you. All you have to do is accept it. Repent of your past. Accept His forgiveness. And ask Him to be the leader into your future. You could have your well experience today. If that's you today, if I'm speaking to you, I just want you to slip your hand up and say, "Pastor, that's me. I need to get rid of my past and ask Him to lead me into my future." Anyone at all today? Journals out right now. We're going to write down our address. We're going to pray over it this week. We're going to write down our workplace. Where do we work? Where do we go to school? We're going to write down the circles that we're a part of, the community that we're in. We're going to pray over the people that we're going to invite to church. That we're believing for. There's power in prayer, church. And if we're going to be intentional, we're going to have a plan. Jesus, give us the faith to be intentional, to take responsibility, and to depend on the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Nick.